Hello, everyone. Welcome to Buzzer Beaters, an NBA podcast that's brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. If this is your first time watching, Tuan and I, my co-host Anthony Tuan Corral here, and I go over basketball topics, mainly on the NBA front, but we kind of dibble and dabble in the NCAA when it's applicable, as well as the WNBA when it's applicable. But for the most part, we're just going to focus on the NBA. What we typically do is we pick like 1 to 4 topics, depending on what's going on, and with the intent of spending about an hour on the show. For this week, we're going to go ahead and cover the Summer League, the rest of the Summer League games that happened, because the last episode of last week, we covered essentially the first weekend of the Summer League, along with the California Classic and the Utah Summer League as well. So we covered those games, we covered some of the players that stood out for us, and then now we're going to go ahead and cover the games from July 15th to the championship game of July 22nd. So that's what we're going to go ahead and talk about. And also one thing you also notice is that we did change the date. We are now going to be on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, every other Wednesday now, because the NBA is essentially over now after the Summer League. And then, of course, we're going to cover Team USA at the next podcast that we have in a couple of weeks. And we're probably going to have a guest as well that's going to join us to talk about WNBA, because I know that's pretty hot right now with the emergence of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and others, right, that are just Asia Wilson, who's just dominating right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But for the most part, we're going to focus on the Team USA and how they're doing once the Olympics are over. Again, we'll just kind of dibble and dabble and determine what makes sense to have as a podcast. So again, Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's when we're going to have these. And we're doing these live because we want to hear from you. We want to get your questions. We want to get your comments. We've been getting some of those, but we'd like to have more. All right. So anyway, so Tuan, we're going to go ahead and talk about the Summer League, the games that just took place from the Monday before last, because this last Monday was the championship game that featured the Miami Heat and the Memphis Grizzlies. Correct. But we're going to go ahead and talk about those games that spanned up to the championship game. So I kind of wanted to get, per like we did last week, we talked about some of the players that stood out, right? The guys that, when you look at the game, really stand out. You're like, okay, this guy's NBA ready, the eye test, right? And then I'm going to supplement that with some of the data, from a fantasy sports related standpoint, I look at the stats and kind of weigh the player's value based on the stats they accumulate. So we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about this to cover both sides, because, the audience is probably split in how they look at games, because there's a lot of fantasy basketball players out there and FanDuel and DraftKings players. But, you looked at it from the eye test. So definitely wanted to kind of get your take as the games that you watched and then some of the guys that stood out and just kind of take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did watch a bevy of games. The one thing that I want to start off with were there were a lot of bad games. Right. I don't want to beat up on the guys, but there were a lot of bad games. I'm looking for a needle in a haystack here at some points. I went in to the show hoping that I could focus on some of the rookies or some of the key players, some of the people that we had talked about in our draft shows and things of that nature. But for various reasons, they were sitting out or they weren't playing or whatever. They were injured or they were on rotation. So I just found myself just looking overall at all the players. So the players that I'm going to bring up can be second-year players. There's some third-year players. I think there's some even a player or two that are beyond third-year players. I kind of want to focus on that. So I wanted to go down some of the games that I watched, some of the things that I highlighted. I want to start off with the Memphis Grizzlies. So I talked about them last week, and I watched them again. And this Scottie Pippen Jr., he's really, really impressing me. Take all of what I'm saying with a grain of salt. Obviously, Scottie Pippen Jr. is playing with, a notch below NBA caliber players at this point. Most of the players are still trying to learn the league and come up and get there. So, but he is dominating and on all levels. I mean, he's playing solid defense. I mean, he's not a big guy. He's about 6'3". I'm going to guess about 180 pounds or so, somewhere in that range. Really good passer, really aggressive player, I've been watching some other point guards. They kind of turn into black holes. They run the ball up the court and then they end up shooting or looking for their offense. Scottie Pippen is not that type of guy. He's really
He's definitely focusing on distributing and playing defense, which is what he should be doing. I mean, he's been in the league for a few years, so he knows what these NBA GMs are looking for, right? So, you know, you probably already know this, but a lot of these guys, and we talked about this last week, a lot of these guys who come to play the summer league that are not initially drafted by the team, a lot of these guys are coming out there to try and get jobs, right, from any team that's willing to look at them. And that's why you get some of these guys trying to, like, do their best and doing what they think that they're best at and not necessarily what the GMs want them to do. And Scotty is one of those guys who knows what these guys want, what they need and look for, right? But he's already with the Memphis Grizzlies anyway. But yeah, go ahead. I just wanted to
So you know what's funny is, you know, as I'm watching all of this, I'm seeing Vin Baker Jr., Jameer Nelson Jr., Scottie Pippen Jr. You know, there's a lot of juniors out there that I didn't even realize were in the league, you know? So yeah, it was kind of fun watching all of these players. But you know, from that game, he really stood out. Everyone else, with the exception of G.G. Jackson, he's a pretty good player, bigger player, has a nice three. You know, I like watching him as well. He didn't stand out as much to me as Scottie Pippen Jr. did. But what really stood out is Dallas was just in that game was not looking very good at all. I mean, I just didn't think they were even worth noting. So that was one of the first games that I watched. Some of the other games, and I'll kind of jump around here a little bit on my notes. Yeah. The next guy that I do want to talk about, I want to talk about the Bulls-Pistons game because Bouzelis. Holy
crap. Oh, yeah. That kid's got some swag, man.
Eddie, I think this kid's going to – I mean, if he doesn't start within the first month, I'm going to be surprised, especially given the Bulls' talent and, you know, where they're at. But this kid –
they're in transition.
He can ball. I mean, he's got swag to him.
Yep.
He's a cocky kid, but not overly cocky. He moves really smooth, you know. Is even when he's aggressive to the hoop, he does it in kind of in a side to side fashion. So he's not the kind of guy that's going to, you know, pull a lot of charges or you know, kind of do that kind of foul. He's got a real smooth three. Boy, I really like this kid. I know last week I talked about Holland and Dillingham and a couple of other guys. This guy, like, I was like, man, I should have drafted this dude because this dude was freaking fantastic.
He's a player, man. I was watching him too. I mean, the eye test shows you like who belongs, right?
Yeah.
He stands out amongst the crowd. That's what you're looking for, and he definitely stands out amongst the crowd for sure. I mean, he's cocky enough to think that he should have been drafted higher. He's like, man, I should have been a number one pick, right? What is everybody else thinking? You know, but I like this kid's swag, man. And he's not like overly cocky to kind of piss you off. He's kind of more on the Anthony Edwards front a little bit. Edwards, cocky, little, you know,
his
friendly
face
cocky.
Is a little sheepish, you know? He kind of looks at you kind of like,
Yeah. He's got that, like, new hairdo, right? The messy
exactly.
dude, right?
He's like not overbearing. Yeah. I really liked him. I mean, he had good hesitation moves. I saw a couple of Euro steps on his game. You know, he could easily get around big players. He could easily shoot over the shorter players. He has really quick hands on D, kept poking things out of, you know, on defense, kept poking balls out. And what was really interesting about this game, which I highlighted this game to me, was because he went up against Holland, right? Ron Holland, which last week I had mentioned. And he really, you could see Ron Holland trying to take it up a notch and couldn't quite get there. You know, he was like struggling a little bit. And this kid, Bouzelis, was just like, he wasn't even paying him no mind. Like, let's go.
Right.
I'll go around you if he's on D. So I really, really liked him. Another one on the Bulls was Sanogo.
The guy from UConn.
Correct, from UConn. Yeah, good defensive player. Had good, good blocking presence. Had good low post game. So I really liked him. And then DJ Stewart as well. Nice mid range. Was attacking the rim. Really, really liked him. Let's see here. Jumping around some more here.
Let me ask you this: out of the games that you just mentioned, were there any guys? That you know, we're talking about top performers. Was there anybody like you're going, oh my God, this guy really needs help? If anybody at all, if anybody.
Tried to be honest with you, as I was watching, yes, there was players, but I didn't jot them down. I didn't want to bash people. You know, I didn't. But there was, and that's what, when I was saying there was a lot of boring games, there was just a lot of players that.
This is like, pickup game, man. A lot of people are playing pickup games.
Well, it's not only that. It's clear, like, There's a couple of ways that I'm drawing this line. The first player, the first level that I look at the player is this player understanding the team concept or are they just trying to get theirs?
Right.
So that was kind of the first division that I would draw.
And I would say most of them don't like someone understand like the team concept. Most of them want to shine, right? They want to shine.
Correct. They don't. But when I look at like maybe a player that throws a pass in the lane and no one's there, but you kind of see their intent, like you were hoping someone would cut. to me, I'm like, all right, I look at that player and I go, okay, that player understands that it's not just about them. You know, they're trying to include. And then you got the players that are all about themselves, right? The minute they get the ball, they're putting their head down and they're attacking. And there's the ones that can get away with it a little bit. And then there's the ones that are just keep missing and missing and missing. Number 12 for the San Antonio Spurs. I don't remember his name. He runs the point guard. He's got like a little triangle ball spot kind of. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, that dude would put his head down and go time and time and time again. And I'm watching this kid and I'm going, yo, bro, give it up. Like, just pass the ball, move it around, you know? Yeah. Like, so no, I didn't pick on anybody like that.
Okay. Just keep going on guys that stood out for you so far.
Yeah. The other game that I wanted to talk about, which I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched the first half, was the Wizards-Blazers game. You know, that's the one where Klingon kind of owned, quote unquote, owned Alex Sarr. Last week when I watched, and I have my notes, I don't remember who Sarr was playing, and I said he was invisible.
Yeah, you know, he is, though. He is. Well,
this game, though, Eddie, I will tell you, I think he was like 0-15 in this game.
0-12. I remember that game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a rough day, but I saw more out of him. Like, he looked more comfortable. The thing about it, the first game, I thought he was kind of skinny, but then when I took a look at him, he's kind of built from the waist down. He's kind of a thick legged guy from the waist down, and he seemed to be more involved. I like, even though the scores didn't represent, I think defensively he had a better game. He had more rebounds. He had some blocked shots. Offensively, he was like a no-show. But I actually thought he was significantly better this game than he was the last game. Even though Klingon, quote-unquote, owned him, I thought that I liked the way he was looking in this game. Is he a starter right now in the league? No.
And that's what we're looking for, are guys that you think could be starters. And that's good. That's a good observation, because I didn't think Alex Sarr, you know, being the number two pick, I thought he would shine way more than he did.
Yeah.
And he actually just looks kind of like, I don't know, man, like he just kind of is trying to find himself out there a little bit, you know. He's definitely going to get dominated by a Donovan Klingon type, you know, or even a Zach Edey type, you know, the guys that are bigger and stronger than him. He should be able to use his agility to be able to get around those guys. But, you know, he definitely has it. Like I said before in the last week's show, a lot of these GMs think that guy has the most star quality in this draft. And I would say that a lot of these GMs who probably watched the summer league were probably disappointed that this guy didn't really shine amongst a lot of these guys that are not even that good, right? So
I would agree. I would say in this Wizards-Blazers game, I could see – how would I put this? I could see the moves he has or someone would think he was a star. I'm less confident that he would be, but he's got the moves. He's got the shots. The shots that he took weren't incredibly hard. You know, he was just off. And so I'm thinking as he gets more comfortable, I can see him becoming better. But, you know, I'm going to say that a lot of the big men, you know, Filipowski, right, is another one. I was watching the Utah game. Filipowski he's a decent player, man. I mean –
definitely, I mean, from where he started and where he started coming at the end of the summer league, he definitely, you know, started really slow and actually started picking it up. Yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, and given where he was drafted against Edie or Klingon, like Klingon. I don't see that much of a drop off. You know, to be honest with you, I mean, because offensively he's a little better than Klingon, right? Klingon's probably significantly more better than him in defense.
Yes.
But I can see them kind of off balancing, and I'm like thinking, well, if you pick that guy up late in the draft, you know, second round pick, like that's not a bad deal.
He shouldn't have slipped that far, though. He should have been somewhere in the top.
The one that I watched two games with was the kid from is it Cody Williams? Cody.
Oh yeah, yeah, the Utah kid, Colorado. Yeah.
Yep. That kid looks lost, Eddie.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I agree with you on that. That's Jalen Williams is the younger brother, and Jalen Williams of the OKC Thunder. Yeah, and I agree with you, man. For being I think he was a 10th pick. You know, I thought, let's put it this way, man. The guys that are top 10 picks should be standing out, man. And I was disappointed that the only one, in my opinion, the only two that really stood out, in my opinion, from what I saw, was Reed Shepard. Reed Shepard stood out big time, man. And then Rob Dillingham, another guy who really stood out. And, of course, these guys are both on your freaking drafted team. Kicking my butt, which I will go ahead and review at the end. But, yeah, those guys stood out. And, you know, believe it or not, Klingon, I think, stood out from a defensive standpoint, right? I mean, and then Zach Edey, when he got the time, he looked pretty good as well. So those are the top seven. Those are the top nine picks. Four of the top nine picks that I mentioned, those are the guys that I felt looked like they belonged. Another guy that I thought looked like he belonged was Jalen Tyson.
Yes.
Jalen Tyson looks like a freaking player, man.
Yeah, I stole Khalil Ware from him, and you stole him from me.
Yeah, and then Ron Holland looks like a player. So all of these guys that we're talking, these guys, they're going to be rotational pieces right from the jump, in my opinion. Correct. You know, maybe some of them might even be starters. Matas Vasellis, right? He's another guy that probably going to start as well, you know? Yeah.
And you know who else is going to start? Again, these are – a lot of this is neat, right? But, you know, Edie's – start. Zach Edey's going to start for Memphis.
He's going to start.
Need a center. They need a big. Whether or not we could argue he's better than Klingon or some of these other players, time will tell. But he's going to start because the opportunity is there. Klingon's got to go up against, the kid from Phoenix up at the center, right? And so he may or may not start depending on what Portland wants to do.
Right, right. Are you talking about the Yusuf Nurkic guy from
Phoenix? No. The center they traded. Man, I'm getting – old man disease again.
I hear you.
The center over in Portland. The one that came from Phoenix on the Phoenix trade.
Oh yeah, I don't remember. All I know is Yusuf Nurkic.
So anyway. I'm sure if there's anybody out there on comment land,
By the way, we're live. So for those of you who are listening in, if you have any questions, this is why we're live. So we can go ahead and hear from you, right? So please feel free to go ahead and put some comments on your platform. Any questions, comments, we're more than happy to address. So go ahead, Tom.
So kind of talking about that Jazz game we were talking about, another guy that stood out, I don't think he's a first-year player, but Javon Freeman-Liberty from
the Pelicans. He played for the Raptors last year. I think he's a second or third year player.
He's on the Pelicans now. Yep. So I actually liked him quite a bit. He was quite aggressive. He had a little bit of a black hole mentality, right? Like once he had the ball, he wasn't going to let it go. But he was converting, and he had a couple of. He was getting some steals. He was getting some rebounds. Same for Jamal Sheed.
Jamal Sheed, from Houston.
Houston
Cougar.
I like him too, man.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I knew a lot of people had him undrafted, and I'm glad he got drafted because I thought, in my opinion, for that Houston team that, I think could have gone pretty far if he had not gotten hurt. I thought he was one of the guys that really was looking good to me that could go pro. Although it's his size is, something of concern, right? But from an offensive standpoint, explosive standpoint, he's very similar to a Dillingham kind of. But I think he's more of a combination. He might be more like an Isaiah Collier type, the guy who's just big and, kind of stocky, strong, drive to the bucket, kind of dish. That's the type of player I think Jamal Shedd is.
Correct. The other one that I noticed from the Jazz was Taylor Hendricks.
He's been in the league already. He's been in the league for a couple years now.
Pretty good rebounder, runs the floor, has got a nice shot, kind of, I don't want to say a 3-and-D guy, but more along those kind of lines. He was pretty good. Let's see, I watched the Knicks-Nets game. I heard a lot of talk about Tyler Kolek, at least in that game.
Yeah.
He broke down the D a little bit. He had some assists. He was pretty good, but, I wasn't like, the buzz was like, all right, he's okay. At least in that game, I want to be clear, at least in the Nets game.
Yeah, I mean, but I would say that if you look at some of the guys in that game, he probably stood out more than others, right? Correct.
Yeah.
So relative to his competition, he looked better than others, right? He played for Marquette, was in the tournament, and, you could see that this kid was going to be a player in the NBA, but we just don't know what kind of a player right now, because defensively he is a liability. And that's what, a lot of these guys that, like a Dalton Connect, right? He has the size, but he doesn't have necessarily the athleticism to stay with a real athletic offensive player. And that's why, that's the knock on some of these guys is that, do they have the athleticism to be able to compete on the defensive standpoint? And that's Tyler Kolek's, unfortunately, his liability. And I don't know if he's going to be able to gain that. I don't know. But that's why, I think he might become a rotational piece. But the Knicks, the Knicks are freaking
stacked.
Stacked. Yeah, yeah. He's probably going to be a bench warmer for this year. So,
And I watched Obi Toppin's little brother, Jacob Toppin.
He was
okay. Nothing to write home about. Let me see here. Anybody else that stood out? I know you like TJ Shannon. You've been talking about
Terrence Shannon.
Yeah, Terrence Shannon. Yeah.
Yep.
I watched two games with him, and in both games, I thought he was just okay.
He played good in the first game, and then after that, he kind of disappeared, and then he had, like, a toe injury, and then never played ever since. So that pick in the draft, you know, that he was my second pick, by the way. That screwed me. That's because he didn't play. He only played one game. And then he played two games. In the second game, he didn't do jack in, like, 7 or 8 minutes, and after that, he didn't play after that. So I got screwed. But he's got – I mean, the guy is a really big-time scorer, man. You know, he's a guy that I forgot what school he went to. But anyway, he was considered one of the better scorers in this draft.
That's kind of what I was expecting out of him. And he is an aggressive scorer, but it was the scoring he was doing. You know, I give less points if it's like a breakaway or, you know, something that's an easy kind of scoring opportunity.
That you work for and you make it. That's when it's
impressive, right?
Opposed
to a shot that you created on yourself. So he's getting more of those opportunistic plays, less so much, you know, creating his own offense. Adem Bona for the Sixers. I liked him. He was, you know, good.
Very defensive kind of guy, man.
Yeah,
very defensive guy.
Yep, I liked him. I'm trying to remember who's the backup center there. They picked up Drummond, didn't they?
Drummond. Yep, he's backing up Joel Embiid.
Yep, Joel Embiid. So, and then Jaron McCain. I watched him a little bit. He's got a nice three shot.
He does have a good shot. I agree with you.
So, liked him there.
He's gonna play. I mean, he's gonna be a rotational piece on that team just because they need shooters, right? And the Knicks have, you know, a Dante DiVincenzo who can shoot. You know, a Jalen Brunson. I wouldn't call him a shooter per se, but he has the
capability. He's a scorer.
He's a scorer, right? He's not really an outside shooter, right? And Jared McCain is a shooter, just like a Dante DiVincenzo is, and that's what they need more of to spread the floor, so that Jalen Brunson can do his work when he drives to the bucket and dishes off to Randall or whoever else, right, is going to be there. So,
cool. Let me see. Watched a little bit of Missy.
He's Missy.
Yeah.
Baylor guy.
He was okay. Nothing really. I noticed Riley Minix. He had a pretty good looking shot, pretty good looking three. I observed him a little bit. Jacoby Walter, I watched the Walters game. The Raptors.
Yeah, man, another guy was lost, man. He looks lost.
I mean, there was nothing out of him, Eddie. I kept watching him, and I kept going.
I agree, man.
He's going to do something. Yeah,
that's the thing. That's what's concerning for, you know, this draft class is, you know, there weren't that many that really stood out. You know, I mentioned like, you know, four or five of them, you know, that really stood out. Other than that, man, it's like, you know, you can argue like the top three picks. Or top four picks, any of those guys could have been the number one pick, right? Because it's just not like a big difference between the guy at the top from the top, you know, the top, you know, from the top to the maybe the sixth person in that draft or seventh person. There's not a big discrepancy. And, you know, that's what you're looking for in these games is, okay, a lot of these GMs want to see how these players are performing against other players that have been playing in the NBA because there's been guy, you know, Kevin Knox, who played for the Warriors. He's been in the league for 7 years, and he's still in the summer league, man. He's playing summer league ball. That gives you an idea of, like, you know, a lot of these guys out there, you know, they're some of these guys are not just one-year or second-year players. There's guys out there trying to vie for a job, you know, for, like, four, five, six-year players, right? So a lot of these GMs want to see how these rookies measure up to guys like that, right? And when they don't really stand out, they're kind of going, crap.
Well, that's kind of what I'm noting, guys like Scottie Pippen Jr. and, you know, Knox and some of these players that have been around a couple of years. They're the ones that were really kind of shining bright. A lot of the rookie class, you know. Jacoby Walter, like I said, he was another one. I watched a little bit of the Wizards King game. I was looking for Bob Carrington to see if he would do anything. He was pretty quiet in that game.
I think he looks like a decent player, though. I would say he's going to be a rotational piece. I don't see starter in him. I see a rotational piece in him, and he's decent. You know, he's just got to get a better shot. He's not a consistent shooter. He's more of a driver, defensive. He rebounds well. He had one game where he had 15 rebounds, man, for a guard. That's, like, ridiculous.
That is.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, for that, that's ridiculous for a guard. So he has game. It's just that he doesn't have the shooting capability. So, hold on. All right, it says, back to the Stone Age. Yo, Cisco kids, que pasa, Phil Exter, the most masculine of the luchadores. All right. Then he says, one question. ¿Quién es más machista, Scottie Pippen Jr. or Kobe Brown?
I got to go with Scottie Pippen Jr.
I agree. Thanks. Back to the Stone Age. Thanks for listening and thanks for your questions. I really appreciate your contribution. Thanks.
I love that image.
I know. Right.
I love All right. it. So two more guys that I want to call out. One is, I'm picking him now as my project guy.
Okay.
Cam Christie from the Clippers.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me, like, I think you're saying this guy has a really good-looking outside shot, right? Like, kind of reminds you of, like, a Klay Thompson type.
Yes.
Right?
Like, shooting ability. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm calling him now as my kind of my project. He's going to be a guy that I'm going to be trying.
You're going to be eyeing that guy because you're going to call this guy to be the next Klay Thompson. I want to see if I'm going to be right.
Exactly. I'm not sure he's up to snuff right now, but I like him. And then the other one that kind of stood out just because we're Warriors fans was Ryan Rollins in the Bucks game.
Yeah, that's right. He's playing for the Bucks now. That's right.
He kind of owned it. You know, he was out there. He was running the shop, you know, and he's a third-year player, I believe, if my math is correct. So, you know, he was just looking good, and I was, you know, hoping he latches on with the Bucks there and gets some time. But yeah, I just wanted to call out those two guys. Everybody else kind of got lost in the shuffle. Nobody, you know, Dillingham, like I mentioned, I watched the Sixers-Wolves games. He had a couple of nice assists, but he didn't really stand out much there. I think those are, for the most part, Eddie, those are kind of the
eye test guys that you have?
Yeah, eye test guys. The guy, again, Buzelis was the one that clear and above in this round of me watching games was without a doubt, like, dude, can the Warriors get him? Like, how do we pull this off?
Right. Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, you know, as we already told to the audience that Tuan is going to be going over the eye test guys, the guys that stood out. I'm the numbers guy, right? I crunched numbers for every freaking game, for every rookie player, not every player, just the rookies of this class. And I went ahead and kind of categorized it. I went, you know, the top 10. So I'm going to go ahead and show right now what I'm showing. Can you guys see on the screen right now?
Yeah, I can see. We're
good. All right. All right, so Tuan, do me a favor. There's a go to the banner and change that. Well, let me see if I change to the screen here. Oh, cool. I'm good. So, can everybody see that? That's kind of small, huh? Let me go ahead and put the slideshow. Can you see it better now? There we go. I got
my old eyes can see.
Yeah. All right, so this is what, and you know, unfortunately, the banner is going to hide some of the. I'll go ahead and take the banner off for right now. But anyway. I went to the wrong one here. Let me go ahead and change to the right table because I have different players. Ah, here we go. All right. Can everybody see that? All right. So these are the top 10, and this is for all of Summer League and just the drafted class. Okay. Ranked them from 1 to 10. And so what the audience can see here is these are points in one game, the best that this player had in one game. Throughout the entire summer league, this is the best game for that player, and you can see here the amount of points that they accumulated. Again, the point system here is points are points, so 2 points, 3 points, 10 points is points. Then you get 1.2 points per rebound. Then you get 1.5 points for assist. Then you get 3 points for a block or a steal, and minus points for turnovers. Right. This is the amount that they all got here, and the guy who scored the best out of everybody. For one game was Jalen Tyson at 51.4 points.
That doesn't surprise me. I told you I liked his game.
He looks good, man. And actually, I take this back because this was the best from Monday to Monday because the first weekend, Reed Sheppard had the best. He had like 55.7 points. So he actually bettered Jalen Thompson, Tyson.
Monday to 16th, I believe, July 16th to the end of the tournament.
Right. So like, but I'm only covering from July 15th to July 22nd. These are the numbers that I have up here. So you can see points per minute. You know, that's another way to kind of look at things. You can see right here, the number six guy, Donovan Clingan, he had the best points per minute at 1.97 points per minute, right? So if he got the same amount of minutes.
Kalel Ware had two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Kalel Ware. Yeah, you're right. I didn't see it because it should have put 2.0 and that would have saw it easier. Kalel Ware had two. So that's even better. I mean, Kalel Ware, in my opinion, you know, we know that Josh Christopher of the Miami Heat, he's like a third or fourth year player. He was the MVP for that game. But in my opinion, the MVP of the entire Summer League was Kalel Ware, without a doubt. And I'll show you why later. But what I wanted to still go through this is that Kyle Filipowski, if you look, by the way, the numbers next to the name tells you the draft position. So Jalen Tyson was the 20th pick in this year's draft. you know, and the team that they're drafted by is also listed here as well. But if you look at this list, there's only three players on this entire list that are in the second round. You have Kyle Filipowski, number 32 pick, right? Yep. He was the second best at 48.7 points. Then you also had Pell Larson, who had he was the 44th pick at 45.8 points. Again, this is one game, the best game from the last week, right? And then you have the last guy, you have Tyler Kolek, the aforementioned Tyler Kolek. He had 39.8 points in one game, and he's the number 34th pick. But the rest of these guys are all, you know, top 30 picks, first-round picks, right? So, you know, you have your guy, Rob Dillingham. And no wonder I lost, man. You got Rob Dillingham, right? You have Khalil Ware right here. You had Ron Holland, three of the top 10 on your team that were drafted,
and man. Just goes to show you kind of from the eye test perspective, I kept mentioning Filipowski not being that much of a step down from Clay, right? Zach Edey, or, and I mean, at least for one game, he's showing that. You know, we'll see. I'm sure you got a chart here for best scores kind of on average through that same week. So
what I have here, so here's the next one. This is the points per game, right? So we have, this is points per minute for one game. This is not points per minute. And you already showed that, you know, Khalil Ware had the best. He had 2 points per minute. Donovan Kling was at 1.97, number two. And you can see Ron Holland, another guy that was on your team, at 1.87. Jalen Tyson, he's the best guy for my team, and he's at 1.6. Again, you have Rob Dillingham. I mean, you have three guys on your team in the top five. No wonder I got my butt kicked. Now show how much I got my butt kicked by, right? But you can see here, the other guys that didn't show up in the previous list. Again, these are points per minute, right? So sometimes these guys don't play as many minutes, but they're very productive in the time that they're playing. So the guys that stood out, A.J. Mitchell, OKC Thunder, is another guy who stood out as a points per minute guy. Pell Larson, that guy played really well out of Arizona. You know, he played for Miami in the championship game. And, of course, the Miami Heat are the champions of the Summer League for this year. And Pell Larson was a big contributor to that, as well as Khalil Ware. But, of course, Josh Christopher is the guy who won the MVP. Oso Iguodoro is another guy from Phoenix. And then Anton, don't call me Antoine Watson. Yeah, 33 points. So these are the top points per minute in one game.
Your bottom four or your bottom five are all second rounders.
Exactly, man. Interesting, huh? The bottom five guys are. All right. Yeah. So moving on to the next list here. So this is the best.
No Frenchies on this list so far, Eddie.
I know, you're right. None of them. It was Zachary Richarchet, Alex Sarr. You had Pacom Dadiet. You had Melvin Ajinsa. And I forgot who the last guy was. There was five of them that were in the draft this year.
I'll know the name when I see it.
I'm going by memory here, right? If I had a list to kind of look at, I'd be able to. But I don't want to waste time.
I'm just thinking. You know, at least the top two picks in the draft were Frenchies, and no Frenchies anywhere right now in anything that you're so far presenting.
Right. So let me go ahead and show here. So these are the top Summer League rookies, highest cumulative from a statistical output from July 15th to July 22nd. Again, this is just for the week, okay? Now, you can see here that, I'm going to go ahead and hide it, is that Khalil Ware, 285.9 points. And, of course, it helped that he played eight games, right? I mean, him and Pell Larson had eight games. They played in eight games. And there are a lot of other teams that were very conservative with having certain, you know, players, you know, their top picks only play like, you know, 2 to 3 games, you know, which happened to me with Terrence Shannon, right? But you can see here, the Scrubs, he had 110 more points than the second place guy. No wonder he won. No wonder you kicked my ass, man. I can see it now, right? But you can see some of these guys here, you know, most of the only guy here that is in the second round was Pell Larson. And that's because he's, you know, played eight games.
Filipowski too.
Oh, Filipowski, that's right. Number two and number three, Filipowski and Pell Larson.
Which, again, I mean, you look at Filipowski and he's, you know, he played more games. So I guess in this chart, one could argue the points per game is probably the more significant stat.
Right.
Because if you look at Reed Sheppard, he's averaging 40.8 points per game, right, given all his stats.
Which is
pretty damn impressive. I mean, that's
Ron Holland. That's
5 more points than Khalil Ware is doing.
Yeah, Khalil Ware, 35.7. Then you also had Donovan Klingon, who's the second best as far as points per game.
Yeah.
And then you had Ron Holland at 36.1. You know, again, these guys were on your freaking team. So, but anyway, so I just wanted to kind of go over some of the stats. And for those of you that are listening or watching this, you know, for the, I know some of you play fantasy basketball, right? We're kind of giving you a sneak peek at some of the guys that are worth drafting in your upcoming drafts for the NBA. I mean, you can kind of use this podcast to kind of guide you on some of these players that really stood out in Summer League, and gives you an idea of how many the stats that they accumulate in the time that they play, which is very important in fantasy, right? So definitely look back at this to kind of get a sense as to, you know, who you should be drafting from the Summer League. So.
And I do want to mention, you know, given all the hype on Bronny James over at the Lakers, has taken some of the shine off of Connect, but I think they got themselves a nice little steal there.
For sure. Dalton Connect is a good player, man. Yeah. He should not have slipped that far.
He's on your chart. You know, I think he was the eighth position on your chart, which is very, very, very impressive.
Yep. No, I agree, man. So, all right. So let's get to, you know, what happened in our little contest, right? So, you know, Tuan and I get together for lunch. You know, I can't, hold on a second. I'm having a problem here. Okay, let's see if I can get there. Okay, cool. All right, so here's what we have. This was Tuan's team. This Tuan's team had Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, Ron Holland, Tristan Da Silva, Khalil Ware. Out of all of these guys, Tristan Da Silva only played really two games, right? You had Khalil Ware, who played eight games. You had Reed Shepard, who played three games, but he was like uber efficient, right? Rob Dillingham, another one. Ron Holland, all these guys were just killers. I mean, no wonder. Like I said, 484.5 points. Of course, you know, this guy, Khalil Ware, got another 80 points on his own because of the extra two games that he played. So you're kind of really, you know, if we kind of compare apples to apples, there's really like 400 points, you know, if we were to go with the number of games. But this is the reason why we did this. You wanted to pick players who could advance the furthest, right? And you got lucky here because, you know, the coach elected to play this guy all eight games, and that's unusual, man. You know, I mean, that's a lot of games that this guy played.
A lot of these players, you know, like Reed Shepard's a top draft pick, but a lot of them, like Filipowski, Khalil Ware, they're lower in the first round picks, or even in Filipowski's case, early second round. Like they need more playing time, right? Because they don't get the kind of upper draft, you know, hey, I'm a lottery guy, I don't need to play every summer game type of situation. And so you gotta kind of find that sweet spot between a player that you know has got something to prove and is trying to develop, and so they're trying to get the most out of them, and the team's gonna play him more than like someone like Reed Shepard.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, man. So we just showed Tuan's team 484.5 points. Even if, like, you know, Khalil Ware only played, you know, the same amount of games as everybody else on my team, I still would have lost by 40-something points, right? But here's the team. I had Bub Carrington, and then I had Terrence Shannon, who played only one game in 7 minutes, right? Jalen Tyson was very, very – he looked very, very good. Dembona, some of that you pointed out, he's a second-round pick, the 41st pick. Isaiah Collier is also a second-round pick. And there's a reason why I did this. I kind of wanted to see if my approach – you know, didn't matter where they were drafted. You know, I looked at guys who are highly efficient in the games that they played, but unfortunately, some of these guys didn't play all games. So there's a risk anytime you do this draft. Is like, you know, like we all pointed out, Zach Edey was a risk, right? Because we knew that this guy is a lumbering big guy. And of course, he did sprain his ankle, you know, and that happened, right? And even if that did not happen, it would have been a risk to play this guy anyway, because I think they probably didn't want to like overextend this guy, you know, like they did at Khalil Ware, right? But anyway, so I got killed, 351.2 points. So Tuan, I'm taking you out, man. You know where we have lunch. You tell me where you want to go, man. We can go to Peruvian. We can go to Taco Bell.
You said so. When this started, you said somewhere nice.
I know.
I think there's a steakhouse in our future for lunch.
Oh yeah, lunch. Yeah, but anyway, so you know that essentially covers our, you know, our the Summer League, you know, what we were wanted to cover here. Again, we covered the Summer League last week for the first weekend, and then this week was for the second week of Summer League, which is the most active one. This is where all the games really took place in these last 7 days. It was, you know, it felt like we were watching the NBA season right now. It was great to have these games, but unfortunately, the quality of the games suffer a little bit just because, you know, a lot of these players, they're not ready, NBA ready, right? And when we normally watch NBA games, we're seeing the best of the best competing, and it's great to watch, right? Even sometimes even the crappy teams in the NBA can beat a better team. But, you know, here we have a bunch of guys that are trying to vie for, you know, being on a team, right? They're trying to impress, you know, GMs out there to give them a two-way contract to get on a team, right? And, you know, it happened with, you know, our Warriors. Plowden, he did well, right? He got a two-way contract because of how he did. Daquan Plowden got a two-way contract for the Warriors because of how well he played, because the Warriors knew this guy was going to – he's playing well. Someone's going to snag him, right? And right. And that was shrewd of them to do that because somebody would have snagged them, right?
Yeah.
So this is why, you know, the Summer League is fun, because you got to see some of the up and coming players, you know, some guys that you probably watched in college, you know, in the tournament, or even other, you know, games just you watch on a regular, you know, weekend or weekend day. You, a lot of these guys came from maybe your alma maters, right? And you're pulling for them, right? So, you know, unfortunately, none of the guys came from my alma mater, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. We don't, you know, unfortunately, you know, bring out NBA players from that school. I don't think the Cal Poly Mustangs have one NBA player. They've had football players, but not NBA players. Actually, there was one. I take that back. There was one, but I forgot who it was. But
I believe you have Mike Kruko over there for him.
That's right, Mike Kruko, John Madden, Ozzie Smith, right? Chuck Liddell. We talk about Chuck Liddell. but anyway, man. So, but anyways, like I said,
you got as many as Sarah High School has.
Oh, yeah. Sarah High School. Jesus, man. I mean, that's my rival high schools. I went to St. Ignatius in San Francisco, and then you, Tuan, went to Sacred Heart. We're rival high schools just because we're in the city. But then Sarah, you talk about, man, the Hall of Fame of Hall of Fames as far as players that went into, you know, playing. You got, you know, Lynn Swan. You got the Tom Brady. You got Barry Bonds. You got Greg Jeffrey.
You got arguably, and, you know, people are going to have a cow. Two of the best players the best player in baseball and the best player in football.
Barry Bonds and the other one being Tom Brady. Coming out of San Mateo High School, man, Sarah.
Yep.
And they just pumped out players, man. There's other guys we're missing for sure. But those are the guys
that are
probably
Greg Jeffries.
I pitched against Greg Jeffries when I was in high school.
Did you?
Yeah, I got him out, believe it or not. But, you know, I got to tell you, man. I was a sophomore brought up at the varsity as a to pitch, and he was a senior. And man, dude, I came in there. I was sweating, man, because this guy had a reputation for just jacking people, right? So I threw my first pitch, and I was a junk ball pitcher, man. So I went up there and threw a fork ball, and the fork ball is kind of like one that drops. It's like a slower split finger fastball, dude. Yep. He jacked it deep, like way deep, but he went foul, right? I'm like, woo! Crap. So then the next one I went up there and pitched was a slider. And the slider is like a fast cutting kind of side to side kind of a pitch. And he jacked that one deep too.
Foul?
But it went foul.
So you got two strikes. That's the way I have it.
Man, I'm like, oh, shit, I got two strikes. So then when I threw it, so then, you know, the guy called for, like, I think it was a knuckleball. I threw a knuckleball. Dude, I mean, right there, I was like throwing a bunch of junk. I was a junk ball pitcher. Anyway, I threw a knuckleball, dude, ground ball to first base. And I got him out. So my one and only time I faced him, I got him out, man. So I can say that I got a Major League Baseball player out in high school. So
There you go.
Nice. All right. Well, you know, audience, thanks for listening again. We're going to be here every 2 weeks starting today on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We may have a special guest on the next show, who's going to be talking about WNBA. It's a lady friend of mine that I have, who's married to another buddy of mine, and she could have played it in WNBA, man, and she's a really good ball player. But she has two kids, and two of them they might join this podcast too. They follow the WNBA as well. But these two kids are ballers for their age. One of them's already dunking. He's in eighth grade, man. All right. So this gives you an idea of like how much of a baller this family is. But anyway, this person might join us for the next one to talk about WNBA. But anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters from GremlinsMedia.com. You can find us on Pandora, Spotify, YouTube, X, Facebook, any of these places where you can find your normal outlets, your podcast outlets. But we appreciate you listening in. And by all means, tune in next week. Give us some questions. But again, this is for Antoine Corral, Anthony Tuan Corral, and myself, Eddie Aparicio. This is Buzzer Beaters signing off.